Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. We'll discuss texts 1 and 2 and 3. Sri Narada Vacha, Evam Suradayat Sarve. Brahmaruja Purasara, no phytum ashakan manyu, sangrambam sudarasadam. Sri Narada Vacha. The great saintly sage Narada Muni said, Evam, thus, Sura Adaya, the groups of demigods, Sarve, all, Brahma Ruja Purasara, represented by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Na, not, Upaitam, to go before the Lord. Ashakan, able. Manyu sangrambham, in a completely angry mood. Sudarasaram, very difficult to approach. Lord Nrisingadev. Translation. The great saint Narada Muni continued. The demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other great demigods, dared not come before the Lord, who at that time was extremely angry. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. Anger should be used to punish a demon who is envious of devotees. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy, all have their proper use for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotee. A devotee of the Lord cannot tolerate blasphemy of the Lord or His other devotees. And the Lord also cannot tolerate blasphemy of a devotee. Thus, Lord Nrisingadev was so very angry that the great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and even the goddess of fortune, who is the Lord's constant companion, could not pacify him, even after offering prayers of glorification and praise. No one was able to pacify the Lord in his anger, but because the Lord was willing to exhibit his affection for Prahlad Maharaj, all the demigods and the others present before the Lord pushed Prahlad Maharaj forward to pacify him. Om Agena Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This first verse of the 9th chapter of the 7th canto gives us deep insight into the full emotional nature of devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full of emotions, and the devotees are also full of emotions. Sometimes it is thought that to advance in spiritual life, you must strip away all your emotions. But that is impossible because the ultimate perfection of life, prema bhakti, is perfect emotional ecstatic existence. Narottam Das Thakur is explaining that every aspect of our emotional existence should be focused on the service of the Supreme Lord. You cannot annihilate any aspect of your emotional identity, no matter how hard you try. Therefore, bhakti yoga means how to understand every aspect of your emotional being and focus it perfectly on Krishna. We cannot extinguish our emotional existence, and certainly, how can we deny the emotional existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Here you are getting a display of the ultimate horror. That is Lord Nrsimhadev. You can see, even in this ordinary world, how people are attracted to horror movies. So why should there not be horror in the Supreme? Lord Nrsimhadev, for the demons, indeed, is the ultimate horror movie. If Krishna is all attractive, then everything in him infinitely attracts. That includes horror. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. How can the Supreme Absolute Truth be perfect and complete without anger and horror? And indeed, some devotees, in their secondary rasa, they taste the rasa of horror as a perfect spiritual mellow. The secondary rasas temporarily come to the fore and occupy the center of the stage, and then they recede. For the demons, there's no question of ecstatic love of God. Their seeing of Lord Nrsimhadev is pure terror. Still, that horror, that terror, is infinitely attractive. Everything about Krishna, his romancing, his dancing, his joking, his sidelong glances, and also his killing, his horror, his terror, everything is unlimitedly attractive. Therefore, we say that God has millions and millions of names. Nam Namakali Bahuda Sarva Shakti. But Krishna is the chief name. Why? Are we saying that because of arbitrariness? Or some kind of our particular partisan predilections? No. If you understand what is the science of God, Bhagavad Dharma, then you understand the all attractiveness, and Krishna indeed gives you the gateway and is the gateway and is the conclusion, the end, for the all attractiveness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This demonstration of Lord Nrsimhadev's anger is beyond ordinary comprehension. An anger so vast that even the demigods were bewildered. No one was able to pacify Lord Nrsimhadev in his anger. Why was that anger there? Yes, anger at Hiranyakashipu, but more so, yes, let us talk about the anger of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Western Judeo-Christian tradition, people want to get away from the concept of an angry God. They feel for so long we have dealt with this concept of an angry God who punishes sinners. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. That's not very progressive. In Vaishnavism, we understand how anger has its place in the Supreme Lord. It's not simply that a devotee trembles in fear eternally in the presence of the Supreme Lord. In the Bible, it is stated, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We agree with that. Yes, first you have to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Ishwar. Once at the BBT, the artists were churning out picture after picture of Krishna dancing with the gopis. And finally, Srila Prabhupada commented, "Who keeps filling my books with pictures of Krishna or the gopis? We want to see pictures of how Krishna controls everyone." That first understanding has to be there. So indeed, yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You have to appreciate material nature and its domination over us, its control over us. Even before you understand that there is a supreme controller behind material nature, the first step is to understand that material nature is dominating you, controlling you. What are you going to do about it? It is animal life to simply say, "Oh, just let nature act in its own way. Just go with the flow." That's not human life. Human life begins with understanding, "I'm dominated mercilessly by material nature. What am I going to do about it?" The next step is to understand the supreme control behind material nature. Maya jakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Then, as one progresses in spiritual life, you understand that there's more to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his dealings with his servitors than just control and awe and reverence on behalf of the servitor. It's not that the servitor eternally trembles in fear. "Oh God, don't burn me. Don't hit me with a lightning bolt." But the fear is beginning. It's the beginning of knowledge. That because of him, as the Upanishads say, the functions of nature are happening because of fear of him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it is not the end of wisdom. That is the bhakti contribution. What is the end of knowledge? Vedanta. The end of knowledge is ecstatic loving relationships with the Supreme Lord. Lord Nrisingadev's anger is so expansive that it's, for the demigods, that anger is blotting everything out, everything else out. They're just face to face with this unlimited anger. And who can do anything about it? How can you deny anger in the Supreme Lord? But we don't say that anger is all there is. Sometimes people want to make God just into peace-loving according to their mundane conceptions. Therefore, such persons have a tough time accommodating Lord Nrisingadev. The mundane conception of peace doesn't have much of a role in bhakti. You can see that in Bhagavad Gita. In order for Arjuna to fight, he had to be angry. Krishna told him, "Mama nusma yujyam cha." Fight and think of me. You can't fight a battle holding some material attitude of peacefulness. Similarly, Lord Nrisingadev was not dealing with Hiranyakashipu with some material attitude of peacefulness. But the anger toward Hiranyakashipu was of two derivations. At first, it derived from Hiranyakashipu's demoniac attitude. "Prahlad, where is this supreme that you talk about? I don't see him, Prahlad. You're making these big words, talking big about someone who is more powerful than me. Let's be empirical, Prahlad. Let's be scientific. Apply your senses, even apply your scientific instruments. What do you see? No God, Prahlad." Since it's obvious, according to the scientific method as currently conceived, since it is obvious that there is no God to be seen, the conclusion is there is no God. But anyway, Prahlad, we are going to continue with the scientific method in a very exemplary way. Right now I'm going to cut off your head. If your God is there, he'll come and save you. But of course, as we know, your God is not there. You'll be killed, Prahlad. Very scientific proposal. We don't see the God. We already know he's not there. But since you so stubbornly cling to this concept, this mythology, we're going to indeed enact a laboratory demonstration. I cut off your head, and we see what God does about it. Very simple, Prahlad. You may be wondering, what was Prahlad's attitude amidst all this? What was Prahlad Maharaj's attitude when Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him in so many ways, throwing him off hilltops, crushing him with elephants, giving him poison, having demoniac executioners try to stab and chop Prahlad? What was Prahlad's attitude? He thought, he's a 5-year-old boy. He's Mahabhagwat, but still, he's a 5-year-old boy. He thought his father was joking. Yes, Srila Prabhupada explains that. He thought his father was joking because he's a 5-year-old boy. And his trust in the Supreme Personality of Godhead was so unflinching. His confidence in the Supreme Lord is as vast as Lord Nrsimhadeva's anger is vast. So these are the emotional dynamics you're dealing with in these chapters. Prahlad's complete trust in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipu's complete denial of such a reality as the Lord, his devotee, and bhakti. And then Lord Nrsimhadeva's vast, unlimited anger. So Hiranyakashipu thought he was being very scientific, and the end result was that Lord Nrsimhadeva appeared. The secondary reason for Lord Nrsimhadeva's appearance was to deal with Hiranyakashipu and his demoniac atheism. But the primary reason was out of affection for Prahlad. So Prahlad could understand this. Extremely ferocious form of the Lord is appearing out of affection for me. The demigods, they can understand that too, but as we'll discuss later, that anger was so overwhelming and the demigods couldn't pacify the Lord with their prayers. So even though they recognize that Lord Nrsimhadeva has appeared primarily out of affection for Prahlad, they wanted to calm things down. Yes, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has appeared out of affection for his devotee, but it's getting a bit over the top. Prahlad, can you do something about it? The more we tune into the emotional dynamics of these chapters, the more we can appreciate the fullness of bhakti. Narada Muni is relaying this account. Narada Muni knows that Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahabhagwat even before he appeared. How is that? And when the demigods were going to kill the child, they had taken Prahlad's mother when she was expecting Prahlad, and they had imprisoned her, waiting for the child to be born to take action. At least they had the decency to wait till the child was born before they took action. But Narada Muni came and explained to them, you don't understand what's going on. Your mundane senses aren't enough. Even the senses of the demigods were not accurate enough to perceive the reality that this child who's going to be born, you can't even kill, even if you try. And secondly, this child is not a demon. This child is a Mahabhagwat. In Prahlad, you can see the triumph of bhakti over all material circumstances. First of all, Prahlad heard the instructions of Narada Muni while he's within the womb. He mastered those instructions while within the womb. According to current science, they are now admitting that children in the womb are affected by the music the mother listens to. Scientists have taken photographs within the womb of a mother listening to music and the child's dancing within the womb. So it is not considered to be exotic anymore to think that children are influenced in the womb by what goes on outside the womb. But look at Prahlad. Now, he's not simply being influenced by what's going on outside the womb, the instructions of Narada Muni. He is taking those instructions deeply into the core of his heart. This shows the triumph of receiving transcendental knowledge. There is no material impediment to that. Furthermore, Prahlad, although a Mahabhagwat, is born in such a demoniac family. That shows again that a Krishna consciousness can flourish in any situation, regardless of the most negative situations. In describing Prahlad Maharaj's origin as a Mahabhagwat before he was born, Srila Prabhupada, actually, 2 years in a row in successive lectures about these verses, said, originally we are also all Mahabhagwats. he said, we are all Nitya Siddha. But we have become implicated in material nature. That's something to think about. Originally, we are all Nitya Siddha. And he would several times refer to becoming Nitya Siddha again. Yes, it is a mind-blowing concept. Sometimes it is said, oh, Prabhupada said these things once, but perhaps he didn't package his wording in the best way because English was not his first language. But 2 years in a row, several times in lectures, he would say, we are all originally Nitya Siddha, and here's the process to become Nitya Siddha again. All right, these things are beyond the range of our speculation. But after Prahlad Maharaj's birth, he went through so many ordeals, showing us that that's the way material existence is. Don't think that now I've become a devotee, therefore it'll be smooth sailing through the material world. There'll be no challenges, no trials. Everything will be peaches and cream. Internally, everything is peaches and cream. But externally, the material world is what it is. And sometimes we have a hard time accepting that. We can become angry that I've been serving Krishna for so long, and look at this situation I'm in terms of my material circumstances, in terms of my body. How can this be just? How can Krishna do this to me? So indeed, unconsciously, we aim anger at the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What kind of master are you that I did faithful service and now look at the situation that material nature has me in? Prahlad Maharaj never complained like that. His presentation was, because of my sinful activity, I've been born deep in the well of materialism, but the Lord's servant, Narada Muni, kindly picked me up from living amongst snakes. The Prahlad never blamed the Supreme Lord. I am a Mahabhagwat. I'm your staunch devotee. How can these circumstances be around me? No, he looked at himself and said, I was so sinful, born deep in sinful circumstances, but your servant Narada Muni kindly rescued me. How could I ever leave his service? In this way, Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us yet another thing. He's teaching us that even if you are Mahabhagwat, you still need a guru. And Narada Muni was conscious that my disciple Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahabhagwat. Still, Narada Muni instructed him. In text 2, we see that Brahma had failed to pacify Lord Nrsingadev. Lord Shiva had failed. And now, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, is requested to go before the Lord. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, was requested to go before the Lord by all the demigods present, who, because of fear, could not do so. But even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of a Lord, and thus she could not approach him. So to speak, this is the last straw for the demigods. They sent Lakshmi Devi, the constant companion of Lord Narayan. They requested her, "You please pacify Lord Nrsingadev." Lakshmi Devi, in this situation, under the influence of Leela Shakti, the pastime potency of the Lord, has a combination of two apparently contradictory states. She does recognize that this is her Lord, but the form of the Lord and the anger of the Lord is so extraordinary that even Lakshmi Devi is baffled. So she's feeling two contradictory emotions at the same time. This is my husband. At the same time, this person is so angry and so fierce. Is it really my husband? Because Lakshmi Devi is the perfection of chastity. So, obviously, she doesn't want to associate with someone who's not her husband. But at the same time, she's Lakshmi. She knows all the forms of the Lord. They exist in Vaikuntha. And she knows this is my husband. At the same time, the anger. I don't know. Is it really him? So, this emotional bafflement is arranged by the pastime energy of the Lord just to add flavor that even Lakshmiji recognizes, but then again she's doubtful, then again she recognizes, then again she's doubtful. These are ecstatic states of bhakti in which the Supreme Lord can baffle even his closest intimate devotees. She's requested by the demigods that you please go forward. But she failed to do the job. There was only one option left that we'll see in text 3. Thereafter, Lord Brahma requested Prahlad Maharaj, who was standing very near him, "My dear son, Lord Nrsingadev is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord." We get emotional insight into these words of Lord Brahma via the disciple succession. Srila Prabhupada said this is actually done in a joking way. "Prahlad, this is all on you. Because of you. You're the one. You did it, Prahlad. Because of you, this unprecedented, unlimited ocean of anger has been let loose. Therefore, since Prahlad is all your fault, you please, we have to turn to you. You please go forward and appease the Lord. That's been the whole point of the prayers by the demigods, the approaches of Brahma, Shiva, and even Lakshmi. Appease the Lord. This anger, this emotional ocean of anger is so intense. Something has to be done. You can feel when you get angry, it's very polluting. The Bhagavatam explains that anger pollutes your mind, pollutes your body, pollutes your senses. It's a very unhealthy feeling. Even contemporary medicine recognizes that anger causes illness. So devotee wants to get rid of it as quick as possible, yet sometimes it seems to cling to you. In fact, because anger is such a powerful emotion, all a devotee can do is appeal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please sort my emotions out for me. This calm, crowed, lobe, mada, moha, matsarya, lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion. We can try this technique, that technique to deal with it, but ultimately we have to fall on our face before the Supreme Personality of Godhead and beg, please sort my emotions out, purify them, allow me to use my emotions perfectly in your service. It's a hard lesson for us to understand that we are truly subordinate. Even we think bhakti should make us free of all subordination. Our self becomes independent in bhakti. When actually, in bhakti, we realize we are more and more dependent. In our conditioned existence, anger is very polluting. But Narottam Das Thakur confidently tells us anger has a place in bhakti. That requires some maturity, how to be angry in a constructive way in devotional service. When you see the Lord being blasphemed, devotees being blasphemed, when you see people's chances for becoming Krishna conscious being exterminated by a demoniac government or demoniac society, yes, a devotee becomes angry, but that anger has a... You have to have a cool head while being angry. You have to see how your angry response is actually furthering the service of the Lord. So it's not just you're running around like a chicken with a head cut off and angry, Narottam Das Thakur said angry. It is not like that. With a cool head, you use the anger at seeing Krishna being minimized, Krishna's devotees being minimized, devotional service being minimized, people's opportunities to be Krishna conscious being exterminated. You use that anger how to increase the devotional service of the Lord. Similarly, lust also has its perfection in bhakti. It's not that the goal of bhakti is to be without lust. The goal of bhakti is to have perfect lust. How to lust to see everything used for Krishna's pleasure. That's a lust. You can burn with that kind of fire. Oh, look at that. That is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Yes, you can feel the bhakti temperature rising in you. Oh, it's so good, so beautiful. Oh, it's meant for Krishna. We're not trying to annihilate our emotions. We're trying to purify them. The spiritual world, especially Goloka, that's the place of constant, perfect emotional displays. Lord Nrisimhadeva is bringing that display of perfect anger to the material world because it really doesn't have its place in the spiritual world, fighting with demons, killing them, such ferocious anger as Lord Nrisimhadeva is demonstrating. It can't really go on in the spiritual world, but because the Lord is perfect and complete, so to speak, he's got to do it somewhere. So he makes, through his pastimes, arrangements where he can indeed demonstrate to you that janmadiyasya yataha. Everything emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything means everything. But sometimes we have trouble with this. How can anger be there in God? Well, Krishna's got 16,108 wives. How can lust be there in God? All these things must be there. Otherwise, how can they be there in us in their perverted expression? So therefore, we want to realize that if Krishna is angry, he must be unlimitedly angry. Why just a little bit angry? If Krishna is lusty, he must be unlimitedly lusty. Why just a little bit lusty? As Srila Prabhupada told us, the question is not why did Krishna marry 16,108 wives? The question is why only 16,108? Why did he stop there? That is the question. Why only? Just think about it. Just think about it that way. An unlimitedly lusty God. In our tiny exhibitions of lust and anger, we get ourselves into so much trouble. It practically seems like from our limited display of lust to the limited display of anger, you get unlimited trouble. So therefore, naturally from the mundane point of view, we turn to the impersonal conclusion. A little bit of lust got me in so much trouble. I was a teenager, I just did a little bit of this and that, and a little bit of anger, just venting a little bit of anger as psychologists advise you. It's good to get it off your chest. Just be angry, be lusty, let it out. I followed their advice, just a minute way. Oh, so much trouble. Therefore, it's obvious that when you come to spiritual life, when you turn to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how can there be lust and anger? But Krishna is going to shatter all those false conceptions. And as Lord Nrisimhadeva, he shatters the misconception that there cannot be horror, terror, and anger in God. But he's showing unlimited terror, unlimited anger. So much so that the demigods, even Lakshmiji, can't pacify him. So now there's only one solution. Lord Brahma, he's the solution man of the universe. When the demigods are head over heels in situations in which they can't handle, then they turn to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma turns to the Supreme Lord. So now Lord Brahma has seen none of the devas. Lakshmiji herself can't appease Lord Nrisimhadeva. Here's the solution. Prahlad, it's on you. You're the cause of all this. Please go forward and appease the Lord. So then, Narada Muni continues to describe, O King, he's speaking to Yudhisthira Maharaj, remember. The Bhagavatam is it's an encyclopedia of nested dialogues. One dialogue is nested within the other. So within the dialogue of Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Prichit Maharaj, you have Narada Muni speaking to Yudhisthira. So Narada Muni continues, O King, although the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj was only a little boy, he accepted Lord Brahma's words. He gradually proceeded toward Lord Nrisimhadeva and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands. You might think, very innocent, very childish, you just approach the Supreme Lord, offer your respectful obeisances with folded hands. What is sophisticated? What is scientific about that? But just that act of respectful obeisances with full devotion is enough to capture the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Krishna says twice in Bhagavad Gita, Mamana Bhavamad Bhakto Bhajaji Vam Namaskar. Always think of me, become my devotee. Offer your obeisances to me. Prahlad is demonstrating the power of offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord with full bhakti. Therefore, Lord Nrisimhadev will show his reciprocation. When Lord Nrisimhadev saw the small boy, Prahlad Maharaj, prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. So here you have the unlimitedly angry Lord Nrisimhadev now becoming ecstatic in affection. This, what a wondrous sight. What an amazing sight. To go from the supreme horror, the supreme anger, to ecstatic in affection. All those possibilities are there in the Supreme Lord. And Krishna knows how, in his various forms, in his various incarnations, how to display the perfect emotion at the perfect time. People long for that from their partners in this mundane world. Please act with the perfect emotion for this moment. That's all I want. I don't ask for much. Please know how I'm feeling even before I feel it. If you don't do that, what's the purpose of the relationship? Yes, you're bringing home lots of money, you're providing this and that, but if you can't respond with the right emotions at the right moment, what's the use of you? In this way, we're looking for God within this limited material world and limited affairs. That specialty, how to respond with the perfect emotion at the right time, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead's expertise. As soon as Prahlad gradually approached the Lord and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands, the Lord became ecstatic in affection. What a shift. It seems like one realm to another realm, but all those possibilities are there in Lord Nrisimhadev. Prahlad is not afraid of Lord Nrisimhadev. He'll even offer a prayer saying that, and he'll describe the form of Lord Nrisimhadev. I'm not afraid of your teeth. I'm not afraid of your appearance, your lion-like appearance. But I am afraid of material existence. I am afraid of association with non-devotees. Prahlad's teaching you what to be afraid of. Of course, Prahlad will also say, Naidrojije Pradatya Vaitranyas Tadviya Gayana Mahamrita Magya Chittam. I'm not afraid of material existence because if I'm chanting and dancing and hearing the glories of the Lord, there's no problem with material existence. My only problem is these others who do not understand Krishna. So, in other words, how can Prahlad say he's not afraid? And then he says he's afraid. He's not afraid when he sees himself in his relationship with the Supreme Lord, situated at the Lord's lotus feet. But he is afraid when he would consider himself separate from Krishna. That's what the Shastra says. Bhayam dutiya binivesha ishana petasya vipariyo smriti. When we become competitors with the Supreme Lord. We decide, Krishna's got a good business going. Let me open up my own business and compete with him. Once we take up that role as competing with the Lord, and this is hard for us to, it's hard for us to see ourselves in that way. Me competing with Krishna. I'm just innocent little me trying to get a little pleasure from this world. What's wrong with that? Trying to be a little happy, get a little bit for myself. I'm not greedy. I'm not avaricious. Come on. You know, what is this? Imitating the Supreme Lord. It takes some deep analysis in bhakti to understand this problem of envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, imitation, trying to compete. As soon as that happens, that competition, that envy, that imitation, we are overrun by fear. It just goes hand in hand. The program of imitation of Krishna means the program of being afraid in material existence. What will the next problem be? What problem will tomorrow bring? Of course, you know, since the advent of the New Age, you don't say, oh, I'm having a problem. Now you say, I'm having a challenge. That's supposed to make it better. It's supposed to change the whole dynamics. You can't say anymore that I had problems as a child. Now you say, I had issues from the past. And just the change of the word changes the whole reality, you know, supposedly. So whether you call them problems or challenges or issues, the dynamics are the same. That material existence is a very fearful state. But Prahlad says, I'm actually not afraid even of Lord Nrisingadev. Prahlad just saw the affectionate appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Within all that horror, he saw the unlimited affection. And now Lord Nrisingadev is making that unlimited affection obvious as Lord Nrisingadev displays ecstasy in affection toward his devotee. We'll just conclude reading this purport from Srila Prabhupada. The necessities of the material world are four: ahara, nidra, bhaya, and maituna, eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. In this material world, everyone is in fearful consciousness, sadha samadvigya dhyam. And the only means to make everyone fearless is Krishna consciousness. When Lord Nrisingadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. The devotee's hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Nrisingadev, yato yato yami tato Nrisingha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nrisingadev. Thus, there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord.